We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon another extremely precious section of the Word which you've given us, and pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the Word which you've given us, and that we all heed the serious warning that we find. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I should begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. Our service this morning is coming from the beautiful state of Minnesota, the city of Delano, home of Sean and Christy, and it's always good to be back here in the Gopher State. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 16. And in the King James translation, it reads this way: "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." The Holy Spirit has given us in this chapter one of the most comforting thoughts that you're going to find in all Holy Writ. And that is the truth that our whole life is held in the hand of our Heavenly Father. Everything that comes our way is sent by Him in the form of child training. And it all works together for the very best good. Along with this comforting truth comes another very serious warning. And the terribleness of those who turn their back on the Son of God and walk away. Those of us who are older in this world can look back at our lives and find out that there were sometimes we made really good deals and sometimes we made bad deals. And when you make a deal that doesn't turn out so well, at least it's comforting to know that the Bible has a lot of examples of people that made bad deals also, and worse deals than you and I have made. Exhibit A this morning is one of the 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot. He made a bad deal. Judas was with Jesus almost all the time, for a period of 3 years, continuously walking with him, heard his sermons, saw his miracles. And then he made a deal. I'm in Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 and following. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Judas made a deal with the enemy for 30 pieces of silver to sell his Savior. It was a bad deal. Look at what Judas gave up. Psalm 16, verse 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That's what Judas gave up. An eternity of pleasures forevermore. And he gave that up for 30 pieces of silver, which, by the way, was a price of a slave. It was spitting into the face of the Son of God. What else did he give up? Ephesians chapter 13, beginning at verse Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. This is one of the most beautiful prayers in all Scripture. "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all generations, world without end. The promise here is that God is able to do for us much, much greater things than we can even begin to imagine. And Judas made a deal to give all of that up for 30 pieces of silver. As with every deal, you give up something and you get something in return. What did Judas get in return? Matthew 27, verses 3 and following. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now he wants to take back the deal, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's your problem. You deal with it. How did he deal with it? And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. That's what Judas got in return. But that's not the whole story. He got a lot more than that. God says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Judas hated Jesus Christ. Here's what happened to him. I'm in Psalm 109, beginning at verse 6, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, by the way. This is a prayer, part of a prayer of Jesus Christ to his Father. You think this prayer will be answered? Here was the prayer, talking about Judas. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. His own children, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. How would you like to hear these words? Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg, and let them seek their bread out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. When I'm on my deathbed, besides looking forward to be with Christ, I'm going to be thinking about my wife, my children, their spouses, and their grandchildren. And I don't want the same thing to happen to them that Judas had happen to his. And he deserved it. The famous John 3, which has John 3:16 in it, ends with these words. the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Judas made a bad deal. Now here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, we're learning about another man who made a bad deal. It was just as bad a deal as Judas made. His name was Esau. Holy Spirit gives us a warning here by holding up Esau in verses 16 and 17. We're going to look at verse 17, God willing, next week, if Christ doesn't come back first, and if God allows it. But here in verse 16, the event which the Holy Spirit mentions here is recorded back in the book of Genesis, which really shouldn't surprise us. So often there are things taken from the book of Genesis to give us instruction. And here we're in Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to read 19 to 34 to give you the background for the sermon this morning and also next week. Esau. Now these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Now she's got a problem. She's got twins. And there's a fight going on before they're even born. These two guys didn't get along even before they were born. The children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Why is this happening to me if God's given me a blessing? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took Esau's heel, took hold on Esau's heel. He grabbed him by the heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. They grew up, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, a common man, a peaceful man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So here you have a divided household. The father loved one of the children, the mother loved the other, which is not a good thing at all. And Jacob, now here's the important part. Jacob sowed pottage. That means he made some pottage. This is kind of a stew that you eat. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. We'll look at this in a minute. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And now Esau is going to make a deal. Here's the deal that he made. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, what Esau gave up was his birthright. That's what he lost. What he gained was a bowl of pottage. It's all he had. He lost as much as Judas Iscariot did. He lost everything for a bowl of pottage. Holy Spirit says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. So, what does that mean? Esau was a fornicator, and he was also a profane person. Long story short, backtracking a little bit first, the Holy Spirit here in this section is talking about chastisement. And he's saying that the Father chastises his children. The word chastise there means child training. We went over this. It not only means that when we're doing something wrong, God disciplines us to bring us back. It does mean that, but it means a lot more. It means child training. It means that everything that happens in your life is given to you from the hand of his heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, who loves you, and he's training you for the world to come. And everything is working together for your good and also in the very best way. And that should have been true of Esau, too. It would have been if he would have believed it, but he didn't. And so Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 comes into play here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So a lot of times when God sends something into our lives, it's not something that we want. Sometimes things happen that we don't want to have happen. And then it's a test of our faith. Are we going to live by sight, by what we see? Or are we going to say to our Heavenly Father, you know what's best. Your ways are so much higher than our ways, even higher than the heavens are above the earth. So we're going to see a blessing in this. And we're going to thank you for it. In everything, give thanks unto Christ Jesus, for this is the will of God concerning you. And so Esau was out in the field, and as good a hunter as he was, he came back empty that day. And he was hungry, and it was more serious than what it seems. He was at the point of death. Did he trace it back to the hand of his heavenly Father? No, he did not. He didn't believe in Christ anymore. He rejected him a long time ago. And he's going to suffer. It is extremely important to remember that things come from our Father. If we forget this, then bitterness is going to be in our heart, like the Holy Spirit said. A root of bitterness is going to spring up, and it's going to cause trouble. A lot of trouble. Judas Iscariot found that out, and Esau found that out. Esau was born of godly parents. His father was a believer, his mother was a believer. He probably was trained to know the word of God. He had the same upbringing that Jacob, his brother, had. But he fell. He made a bad deal. And Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, God speaking, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why did God hate Esau? Well, the Bible tells us that the father loves the son. And if anybody hates the son, they're not going to be loved by the father, because the father loves the son. The father is going to hate the enemies of the son. Here's why Esau was hated. First of all, he was a fornicator. That has to do with what we would call the last table of the law. He sinned against his fellow believers. And he was a profane person. That means he sinned against God. So he broke commandments against God and against his neighbor. He wasn't right with either one. And the two usually go together. If you're not right with God, you're not going to be right with your neighbor. It shows itself in your life. And it showed itself in Esau's life. James 4, verse 4 comes to mind. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, this passage can be taken physically, physical adultery, but it's also talking about spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is when we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. We love something else more than God. That's spiritual adultery, and that's being profane. So there was a key time in the life of Esau. It happened in one single day. And he was out hunting. And the Holy Spirit says that he was hunting in the field. He was a man of the field. When Jesus told a parable one time, he said, "The field is the world." So Esau was a man who loved the world. He didn't care about the world to come. He cared about the world that he was living in. And he was good. He was good at it. He could hunt and he could kill. He was really good at that. And this one day he went out on a hunting trip, and even though he was a cunning hunter, that day nothing went right. He didn't see any animals to shoot at, and if he did, he missed. And so he was out there hunting under the hot burning sun all day, and he didn't have anything. And he came back, and he was weak, and he was about to die. And then he came to Jacob. And what was Jacob doing? Well, he was making some pottage. And this is very important. What the Holy Spirit is telling us, and you learn this by word study. You look up the word pottage in the King James translation or in your concordance, and you see how the Holy Spirit has used the word. And you find out in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, find out this. Pottage was a food that was given to the sons of the prophets to eat. The verse reads this way. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. It was a famine, and it was hard to find anything to eat. And the sons of the prophet were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." So pottage is connected with feeding God's people. It's a type of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. It's a type of, and a type of the manna that fell in heaven. So Esau comes in here, and he's just about dead by now, at least he thinks he is. And in the translation it says, he said to Jacob, "Give me, I pray thee, some of that pottage." If you look in your King James Bible, you will find out that the word pottage is in italics. That's very important. Because when the King James puts a word in italics, it doesn't mean what we think it would. It doesn't mean that's the most important word. It means that it's not an important word at all. It means that the translators put this in there so that we could more easily understand it. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're very, very wrong. And here they are very, very wrong. Esau didn't say, "Give me some of that pottage." He didn't say that. He didn't know what it was. He said, the word pottage isn't in there. He said, "Give me some of that red stuff." That red stuff. That's important. Because if pottage is a kind of a type of the Word of God, Esau didn't even know what it was. He didn't even know what it was. And you know, that's the way it is with a lot of people in our world today. There's one book. There's millions and millions and millions of books in the world. Millions of them. But there's only one that's special. And that's a book that the Holy Spirit has written. It's called the Holy Bible. And he inspired every single word of it. And he uses this to feed God's children so they don't faint and die. Now, an unbeliever can look at the Bible and get anything out. They can get a few facts out of it. But you can't really understand the Bible unless the Holy Spirit opens it up to you. Otherwise, it's just like another book. You can understand some words. You can understand some of the things that happen. But you don't get the real meaning of it, the meat of it. And that's the way it was with Esau. "Give me some of that red stuff." He didn't have the slightest idea what it was. Okay. He felt that he was at the point of dying. And so he said, "What good? I'm at the point of dying. And when I die, what good is the birthright going to do to me?" Now, we studied the birthright before. We can't go into detail right now, but there were physical parts to that birthright, and there were also spiritual parts to it. And the spiritual part was that there was a relationship to the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And when Esau sold his birthright, in effect, he was doing the very same thing that Judas did when he sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And his thinking was this: I'm going to die if I don't have something to eat. And if I die, what good is the birthright going to do to me? Well, what good are all the promises going to do that God promised me with the birthright if I die? God can't keep them then anyway. So he didn't believe in the afterlife. Esau thought that when you die, you passed away and that was it. There's nothing out there. You were just gone. That's what he thought. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That was his philosophy in life. So thinking that way, the promises of God aren't going to do him any good if he dies, so he gave them up. And the Holy Spirit emphasizes the smallness of the deal that he made. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, just one, sold his birthright. It's like Judas selling Christ for 30 pieces of silver. What can you do with 30 pieces of silver? It's a drop in the bucket compared to all the money in the world. But he sold Christ for that little bit. And here Esau sells his Savior for one little bowl of pottage. He made a really, really bad deal. So what did he get out of it? Well, he lived for a few extra years. But then when he died, he went to hell. And it was all over. The Holy Spirit here is giving us a warning. And the warning is this, that when God child trains us, there are some times in our life that he's going to send us things that we don't want. We're going to go places that we don't want to go, and sometimes do things that we don't want to do. And Christ tells us that. Then is the big test for us. Are we going to sell our Savior for a few more days on this earth? Or are we going to stay with him, realizing that all the promises that he made he's going to fulfill in the afterlife? And that it's all working together for our good, and that it all comes from the Heavenly Father. Esau didn't do that. Judas didn't do it. They made a bad deal. We better make a good deal. I'm going to end the sermon here with a few thoughts. Number one, most of the promises which God gives you and I are not going to be kept here on this earth, in this life. We're going to have to wait until the resurrection of the dead. Most of the promises, they'll all be kept. God always keeps his promises. But most of them aren't going to be kept until the afterlife. When Judas died and when Esau died, they went into the blackness of darkness forever. Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of light. The devil's is a kingdom of darkness. We take our choice. Another thing is we have to be willing to die for what we believe in. And every single child of God is. Sometimes when we pray to God and thank him, we've got tears in our eyes, and sometimes we've got a lump in our throat. But the promise of Christ is that God is going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. Every tear that you shed is placed in a bottle, and God is going to answer that. He will answer that. And he'll take all those tears away at the resurrection day. Just hang in there. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. This is a truth for every single one of us, every single child of God. A parable that Jesus writes. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure which is hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is very, very high. We have to love him more than our own father. and to love him even more than our own mother, even more than our own children, even more than our own life. But it's a good deal. It's worth it. It's worth it. And every child of God does that for joy thereof. And then you find out that your love for others increases because you've done that. So one final thought. The bad deal that Judas made, all he got out of it was 30 pieces of silver. And he lost his soul. And all Esau got out of it was a mess of food, a plate of food. And he lost his soul. And the Son of God, putting it in perspective, said this: what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? Well, Judas didn't gain the whole world. He only gained 30 pieces of silver. But what if he could have? What if he could have got all the money in the world? And all the profit, all the property in the world, all the good things in the world? What if he could have got all of it? What kind of a deal would it have been? It would still have been a bad deal. Son of God said this: what is a man profited if he could gain the whole world, but he lost his own soul? It's a bad deal. It's a bad deal when you reject Christ. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, you have given us one of the most comforting thoughts in all Scripture here as we're moving through Hebrews chapter 12, when you assure us that every step in our life, every second of our life is all controlled by the Father. Whatever comes our way, we can trace back to His hand, and it's child training, and it's for our good, and it's always done in the very best way. Now, we know that our faith is going to be tried in this, because a lot of times our Father's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And we need a faith that trusts in Him, which only You can give us through the power of Your Word. So we ask that You do this. Holy Spirit, we ask that for each one of us here, You give us a love for the Word which You've given us. Guide us to meditate upon it by day and by night, under Your guidance and control. Open the meaning of Scripture to us, and keep us faithful unto death, that finally we may receive the crown of life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.